Last week was a very special day here at our church. Opportunity to celebrate some baptisms on our Baptism Sunday. What an awesome day of celebrating that was. I had a couple families join our church. Just a wonderful time of celebration. And this week we're going to continue and get on really the second part of our series on parables. And we've been going through this, looking at the parables of Jesus, and started at the beginning talking about what parables are and why Jesus used parables. And we've covered a number of them so far. We also are partnering this with what we're doing on Sunday night in our home groups. And so it's not too late to join one of those. I know many of y'all are like, "Oh, you tell us that every week." But it's really not. We are just about halfway through, and we would love to have you come. You can pick up right where we're at. No problem. We'll be talking about what we're doing right now. We'll be talking about tonight. So you're here. You'll be prepared to come and discuss and be a part of what we've got going on tonight. So if you want to be part of a home group, we still would love to get you in. Come talk to one of us staff members, and we can do that. But go ahead, if you would, turn to John chapter 10. Today's a little bit different. We're going to look at one of only a few parables that are mentioned in the book of John. As you study the New Testament and look at the gospel accounts, what we mean by that is the firsthand accounts of Jesus. If we go to study the story of Jesus, we go to one of the first four books of the New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call those the synoptic gospels. I'm not going to get into all that right now, but we call them and we lump them together because they're real similar. And a lot of times they'll even line up perfectly as far as exactly what was said at certain moments. But John is a little different. We've been studying John on Wednesday nights during prayer meetings and had a great time of looking through there and kind of seeing some of the differences of how John goes about talking about the story of Jesus and his approach to it. Just like you and I, if we were to sit down and talk about the football game Friday night, you and I, though the most of the story might be similar, the details and some of the things we choose to emphasize and talk about or the way we present it might be very different. And so it's very similarly with the Gospels. They're all true. They all connect and go well together. And really together we get a complete view of the life and ministry of Jesus. But John, for whatever reason, chooses not to emphasize the many parables that Jesus gives. He really only gives us a few of them. And so today we're going to be looking at that. In fact, This is one that's really unique to the book of John. But there are names for Jesus in the Bible other than Jesus, right? We call him a number of other things, names that reference who he is. And one interesting study sometimes, if you're kind of maybe tired of your normal routine of how you study Scripture, or what you don't really know what to look for, how to study Scripture, one thing you might do is just begin to look at the names of Jesus. And you can pull that up as simple as looking it up on Wikipedia, and there will be a list of those there. And just go to study about how people refer to who Jesus was in Scripture. And so you might think of many of those. We call him Jesus the Christ. We call him Jesus our Lord. He's called Rabbi. He's called the Son of God. He's also called the Son of Man. I mean, the Alpha, the Omega. There's a number of different names for Jesus throughout God's Word. And one of those we're going to look at today, and that is Jesus, our Shepherd. Jesus, our Shepherd. Before we get into looking about Jesus and this parable that he gives us today about the Good Shepherd, let's talk just a moment about shepherds. Right, and especially shepherds in first century Israel, right? The context of where this parable is given, okay? Think about shepherds. We may not know a whole lot about them. We don't do a lot of shepherding around here. And if we do have sheep, it's probably we take care of them and watch over them quite differently than they did in the first century. You can imagine things have changed a little bit over thousands of years. But we saw 2 weeks ago in our home groups where Jesus gave the parable of the lost sheep. And in that parable, we talked about the prodigal son on Sunday morning, but we looked at the lost sheep and the lost coin on Sunday, that Sunday evening. But in that parable of the lost sheep, we saw where the shepherd would leave the 99 sheep in the open country and would go to find the one sheep that was lost. And so that's one kind of reference in how we might view this shepherd as he's out taking care of the flock and going after even one of them that was lost. Of course, we see other shepherds in the Bible. We see shepherds in the story of Christmas, right? It won't be long. We're going to blink and we're going to be in Advent and we're going to be looking to celebrate Christmas. Everything will be decorated and green and red, and we'll all be, you know, worried about what we're going to buy for Christmas presents and the whole stress and everything that comes with the holidays, not to kind of put a damper on your joy right now. But we see them there, don't we? Some of the first people that get news about Jesus' birth are shepherds in the field. So shepherds are very prevalent in this time period. We see them referenced quite often. Of course, two of the biggest characters in the Old Testament, both Moses and David, were both shepherds at some point in their life. This position, this role, this job of being a shepherd was very common. In fact, the whole industry of sheep were crucial to the economy of that time period. I mean, they got a lot of things from those sheep. And though it was considered unskilled labor to be a shepherd, it's not like people really... Maybe some kid grew up one day thinking, I just want to be a shepherd. You know, I mean, there's kids that grow up thinking things, you know, today too, where we're like, well, maybe you ought to aim a little higher, you know, but someone's got to do it, right? Someone's got to be a shepherd. People are called to do that. But back then, it wasn't a job that people thought, man, that's just really exciting, and I want to be a shepherd. It was just one of those kind of unskilled jobs that you needed. You needed to have people to do that. But it wasn't something that was really... had a lot of value to it in society as far as being people looked up and thought, man, what if I could only be a shepherd? You know, it just wasn't like that. It wasn't that type of position. It was common, very common. So common that an illustration in a parable like this referencing a shepherd would have been understood by everybody that heard it, whether they owned sheep or whether they'd ever been a shepherd. Whether they knew a shepherd or not, they would have understood the role of shepherd, and in this parable would have made a lot of sense. So with that in mind, of this, the importance of this position, the understanding of what it means to be a shepherd, let's look at John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Read there with me. It says in verse 1, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door... but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Jesus gives this parable about sheep, a shepherd. He mentions a gatekeeper, and he also mentions a thief and a robber. He seems to be describing this type of sheepfold that had... you know, it was of some size, right? It was a good size to it. It would have been able to hold many sheep. And likely sheep that belonged to multiple owners, right? It was kind of a community sheepfold where a shepherd would be able to come and there was a gatekeeper there. They would open it up for him, and that shepherd would mention his sheep by name, would speak out to them, and they would follow that shepherd out of the sheepfold. But if they weren't his sheep, and those sheep didn't recognize that shepherd's voice, they would go away from him, right? They would be afraid of that person. And so we see this kind of community sheepfold there, where there's a gatekeeper who's there protecting the sheep, whose job it was probably to keep them in the sheepfold there to make sure that no one would come and steal them, or there wasn't a predator that would come and do them harm. And then we have the shepherds, obviously, who are there to take care of the sheep. But the shepherd would come and would speak to the sheep, and the sheep that belonged to that shepherd would follow that shepherd because they knew his voice. And then Jesus describes someone who doesn't enter the sheep pen through the door. He says he comes in through some other way, right? He climbs over in some other place, but not where the gatekeeper and where the door is at. I think that's pretty important to the story. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this aspect tonight. I hope you'll be a part of home groups. But he calls that person something very specific, a thief and a robber. Now, today in our culture, we don't view thieves and robbers very good, right? It's not like we would say, oh, yeah, look, man, that guy's a thief. All right, high five, right? No. We don't like thieves and robbers. They're not well respected in our culture, right? If someone calls you a thief, if they call you a robber, that's not a compliment. That's an insult. But today, if you get caught stealing something, right, or robbing something, you don't die, right? I mean, they will put you in prison. They will put you in jail. There will be consequences to your actions, but it's not death, right? But back then, things were quite different. And it would be very possible that you might end up dying because you were a thief or a robber. And if you don't believe me, think back to when Jesus is put on the cross and who is there with him dying next to him? Thief, right? It was a serious thing. And so when Jesus calls these people thieves and robbers, he's not just saying these are bad people. He's accusing them of something that basically is punishable by death. Think about that, okay? And like I said, we're going to talk more about what he means by this group of people tonight. But this is a very bold statement that he's making here. Jesus goes on to discuss how the shepherds interact with the sheep and they follow him, but a stranger's voice, they don't follow him. And so we see there in verse 6 that after he gives this parable, what are the response of the people that hear him talking? Do they understand what he's saying? No. Just like you and I, if we read those first 5 or 6 verses, we're sitting there thinking, okay, Jesus is talking about this shepherd, but why? What's the point? We're missing something here. Jesus, why are you speaking to us in parables, right? Speak clearly, speak plainly to us, right? We wouldn't understand what he's saying, and neither did the people who heard him there, his disciples, his followers. They don't understand, it says in verse 6. But good for us, right? We have the word of God, and good for us. Jesus went on to talk more about this. He went on to explain this parable, and you and I have that here. Let's begin reading there at verse 7 as he begins to break down and explain what he's talking about here as he gives this parable of the shepherd. Look at verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So first thing Jesus tells them as he's explaining this parable is he says, "I am the door." He is the gate, right, that protects the sheep. There have been sheep pens found that were designed back then that really didn't even have an official door or gate. They were just kind of surrounded and protected, and then there would be a gap there in the wall. But in that gap would stand the gatekeeper, or perhaps a shepherd, right? That was in a smaller sheep pen, or just a private one for just one individual. It might be just the shepherd that's there watching him. And so that shepherd or that gatekeeper was literally the gate or the door that was protecting the flock from anyone who might come to do them harm, whether it be stealing or some sort of predator that might want to do them harm. Jesus is saying, "I am the door." He is the one that's protecting the sheep. And that everyone who came before him, they were not the door, right? And anyone who enters through him being the door, what does it say about them? Ah, that they will be saved, right? That they will go in and out and they will find pasture. That sounds very similar to another place in the gospel where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me." There again, Jesus making a very bold statement here as he refers to himself being something new, something different, as the only one who's able to give life, who's the only one to bring about salvation for the sheep. It says he is the door. In fact, Jesus goes on to say in verse 10 that he has come so that we may have life and have it abundantly. So not just life, but abundant life. Now, I love this verse, John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a verse that I remember learning probably sometime in late junior high or early high school. I remember being, I can picture it in my mind right now, the lesson being on this verse today, this passage of scripture. And I remember memorizing John chapter 10, verse 10. And I, you know, at the time, I hadn't memorized a lot of verses. I still am not huge and probably know as many verses, you know, by memory that I should know. It just seems like today we're too reliant on being able to, okay, what was that? And I can do a search on Google or whatever, and that verse just pops up on my phone within seconds, you know, before I can sit there and think through all of the words and how it's said. But going back to when I was a kid, I remember hearing that, and it was so intriguing to me, this line that's drawn, right? There's two different things mentioned there. The thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus who comes to give life. And it paints this picture of two different sides of things here, right? There's quite a comparison that goes on. It identifies the difference between Christ and our enemy. And it also represents the difference between this world that we live in and the kingdom of heaven, which the Bible says we actually belong to. It even represents the lives that you and I are to live as followers of Christ, right? That you and I don't live like unbelievers live. As followers of Christ, you and I are to experience life, not death. Life. And not just boring, below average life, like many unbelievers think Christianity is. I mean, you ask those that do not believe in Jesus, who do not believe in God, you ask them, what do you think about the quality of life that Christians live? Most of them would say, hey, it's got to be pretty boring. I mean, who wants to go to church? Who wants to read their Bible? Who wants to live by all these laws and these rules that confine and limit the amount of fun that you can have in this world? That's what they'll tell you. Jesus says, I came to give you life, and not the boring life, not the life that restrains you from fun. Instead, I have come to give you life and give you abundant life. It is a lie to think that our life in Christ is anything but. It's a lie that the enemy tells this world, and the world is guilty of believing. You and I don't live a boring life. God has not called us to be boring, to be limited in the amount of enjoyment we have in this life. Rather, he says, I've come that they might have life and have it to the fullest, that it might be abundant life, whereas the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is the great misunderstanding, I think, of unbelievers. To quote the movie The Matrix, if you're familiar with that at all, if that makes me a nerd or whatever that I know this, but in that movie, there's a quote that talks about that the world has been pulled over our eyes. And I think that correctly describes the lie that the enemy tells us about this world. That this world is all that matters, that this world is what life is all about. Yet it's really all fake. It's all fake news, right? It's a lie. The enemy tries to convince us that life exists outside of Jesus Christ, away from Jesus Christ, without Jesus. Yet that is not true. In reality, we find, and really in death, we find that Jesus is the one who came to bring us life. And not just any life, abundant, good, the best life. I could go on and on talking about this verse and how important it is and how it shaped my life, but we do need to look at the rest of what Jesus says here. So look down there at verse 11. So verse 11, he's talked about being the door. Look what he says here in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. After talking about the door, Jesus moves to another statement where he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd in this story, in this parable. So not only is he the door, but he's the shepherd, which is kind of a little confusing, right? Wait, you're not supposed to be two different people in a parable. That really kind of throws us, doesn't it, the way we think about this. But he says, no, I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sake of the sheep. When the predator or the thief or the wolf come, a hired hand, he says, well, leave, because they don't care anything about the sheep. It's just a job to them. But this is not just a job to me. I love my sheep. So when the enemy comes, he says, I lay down my life. I risk my life for the sake of the sheep. See, most of us, if we have sheep or, I don't know, maybe cattle or any other kind of livestock, any kind of animals that you take care of, for ranching or whatever, you kind of understand a little bit of what he talks about here as a shepherd. But I believe the rule that you would live by, if that's you, and that's not me, I've never owned anything but a cat and dog, and I don't know, that didn't really, it's not the same kind of relationship, owner of a pet to owner of livestock that you're in charge of keeping. But the rule that I think you would operate by is that if it comes down to my life or the life of the livestock that I am overseeing and in charge of, even though I may love those animals, if it's them or me, it's going to be them, right? Because I can replace them. You know, your spouse will tell you, hey, it's just cattle, it's just livestock, it's just whatever. Let it go. Don't risk your life trying to take care of them, because we can replace them, but we can't replace you. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to risk my life to save the sheep. It's this kind of crazy dynamic. He even mentions that most people wouldn't do that, right? The hired hand would not do that. But I am the shepherd who loves my sheep, and I would lay down my life for the sheep. See, we all know that eventually he will lay down his life, that he will die on the cross. But remember, here in chapter 10 of John's account, they don't know that yet. He's been trying to hint to them. He's been trying to tell them a little bit about what's coming, but the light bulb hasn't come on yet. They don't understand that Jesus has come to this world to die. They don't believe that yet. They don't understand that yet. So we all know that, looking back in history, that one day, for the sake of the sheep, which would be you and I and all, you know, humanity, that Jesus will lay down his life to save them. We know the rest of the story. Jesus also says that he is the good shepherd, that he knows his sheep and his sheep know him. He even mentions other sheep from other herds, right? From other areas. And he says, but I will bring them with me so that there will be one flock, right? One big flock with one shepherd leading all of them. And he also mentions that he willingly lays down his life, that no one takes it from him, that he has authority to lay it down, and he also has the authority to take it back up again. Now think about it. If we knew nothing of what was coming with Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected, what would we imagine that he's talking about here? We wouldn't understand. What do you mean you have the authority to lay your life down and then take it up again? That doesn't compute. That doesn't make sense logically to us. But that's what he's saying here. All of this occurring well before the disciples and the followers of him understood what was going to happen with the death and resurrection. Jesus as shepherd is a great way of describing our relationship with him. As we kind of think about what this means, because he's even tried to describe what he's talking about. And I feel like the disciples then, and even us to a certain degree, are like, well, I still am not sure exactly what you're talking about, Jesus. So look at this. He's talking about this relationship between us and him. Him being the shepherd and us being the sheep. See, not only is being a good shepherd a great way to describe Jesus, but being a sheep is a good way to describe us too. You know why? Because sheep are stupid. They're dumb. Dumb animals. Sheep cannot be left alone in the wilderness, or else they will wander off, or else they will do harm to themselves. They will become easy targets where a predator will come and take them away. I mean, and doesn't that sound just like us? Aren't we like the dumb sheep? That if not by our own fault of wandering off and getting ourselves in some sort of harm's way and some sort of danger, we also know there's an enemy out there that is constantly pursuing us like a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. We're a target. There are predators out there desiring to do harm to us. So if it's not us being stupid and suffering the consequences of our own mistakes, we also face an enemy who wants to do us harm. You and I need a shepherd. And thank goodness we have one. But not just any shepherd, the good shepherd. This parable teaches us how much he loves his sheep. As he's talking about this, you know there's people there thinking, that's crazy talk. There's no shepherd anywhere that's going to risk his life for sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are replaceable. They're pretty valuable, don't get me wrong, but they're not as valuable as the human being, right? As the shepherd that's watching over them. It's easier to replace a sheep than it is a shepherd. And as he says this, that he would lay down his life, risk his life, give his life for the sake of the sheep. Man, like the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he did. Jesus would go to the cross and die for his sheep. Give up his life to save the very ones that he is shepherding. The ones that he's leading. The ones that he loves. It's the greatest act of love ever, ever. I'll just leave it at that. He also mentions sheep from another fold here. And I can't help but think this refers to the sheep who are not only of the Jewish fold. Remember, that's who he's talking about here. They're all Jewish people that he is referencing here. But he understands that one day there will be herds or folds coming together for one flock. He's referring to not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Which as you and I read this, that's really, really good news for us. Because I don't know that there's anybody, maybe there is, if you have a certain heritage, but not many of us claim to be Jews. And we therefore would miss out on all of this, except Christ says, no. There's other sheep out there. There's other flocks out there that I will bring together where there will be one flock and one shepherd. As we think about this image of Jesus as the shepherd, we're left to really consider our relationship with him. Because I really think that's what this is mostly about, the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Are we listening to his voice and following him? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Do you know his voice? Are you following him? Because he talks about that the sheep will not follow a strange voice, right? They will run from it. Are you running from the Lord or are you following him? I hear the Lord's voice from time to time. And when people say that, generally we think that we're talking about an audible voice. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I've never heard Jesus' audible voice speak to me. There's some, I know people who have. There may be some of you here in this place today who would say, yeah, I remember hearing a sound that did not come from any human or anybody that was around me that was speaking to me directly. I believe that happens. We see that happen in Scripture quite often. It's never happened to me personally, but yet I would say the Lord does speak to me. Well, Andy, what does it mean? How does he speak to you? Well, the most primary way that he speaks to me is through his word. It's through the Bible. He has a lot to say to us. And often we're like, speak to me. And he's thinking, I did. It's right there in front of you. Please read it. If we want to hear God's voice, the place to start is in his word. Before we want some sort of further teaching from God or something else for him to speak into our life, let's start with what he's already given us and see if he's already given us the answer there. We must study his word. But you know what? The Lord says, I'm not just going to leave you as I go back, right? As he tells his disciples, I'm not just going to go back and leave you here hanging. For when I go away, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we didn't get the benefit of getting to follow Jesus around for several years and get to see him face to face and have these unique conversations and experiences with him. But the Bible says we got something greater. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, speaks to me quite often, right? When I'm listening, when I, you know, obeying him is something different. We'll get to that in a minute, But the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It speaks to us through Scripture. It brings forth the Scripture in a way that we can understand it and what we're supposed to be doing, to maybe how it relates to our life personally in this situation right here and now. But the Lord also speaks to me. The Holy Spirit speaks to me through gut feelings, through these kind of just feelings that I have, thoughts that come into my mind and situations that I know. They didn't come from me. They're too good to come from me, right? They're too wise and too smart. Come for me. There's something unique about them. And I think any of us, right, the more we are obedient to following the Holy Spirit and Jesus who tries to speak through us throughout our life, the easier it is to distinguish his voice among the enemies. The easier it is to know when he's speaking to us and what he's saying to us. So it kind of leads then to, are you really having a problem hearing the good shepherd speak to you? Or do you have a problem following the good shepherd who's speaking to you? Because I'll be honest, I think for most of us, the problem is not that we don't hear his voice. The problem for most of us is that we ignore his voice. We must be obedient sheep. Because sheep follow their shepherd. And if he's our shepherd, we follow him. We need him, first of all. But thank goodness, we don't just follow somebody that's leading us to where we don't know and we don't know their intentions. No, no, no. The Bible says that he is a loving shepherd. He is a good shepherd that was willing to lay down his life for us. Man, I would hope that that's a shepherd that you and I could follow. Are you following the shepherd? Do you hear his voice? A sheep, our job is to follow the shepherd. We don't get to lead our own life. And that seems so weird in this world that we live in when I say that, because I feel like that's kind of the core of what it means to be a free American, is that you can kind of choose and live and be and do whatever you want to do. Right? That's kind of the myth, I think, of the American dream, right? But just like we've been given a lot of freedom, but we don't have the freedom to do anything we want to do, there still are rules, there are limitations to our freedom. The same is true. We are free in Christ, but we are free in Christ to obey and follow Christ. We're free to not have to follow sin and be shackled to sin the rest of our life. We've been freed from that so that we might willingly choose to follow our shepherd. That's our job. Will you follow the good shepherd? The one who loves you so much, he gave his life for you. Make no mistake about it. We're replaceable. Jesus, God's only son, who's more replaceable, us or him? And yet Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life. I've been given authority to lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but he willingly gave it for us. And the rest of the story, the good news is he was able to take it back up again. But Jesus died for you and I so that we might be saved, so that we might have life, abundant life. Will you follow the shepherd? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for the gift of your son Jesus as our shepherd. That God, you didn't just leave us to our own sin. You didn't just leave us to try to figure things out on our own. As sheep just wandering, as just prey out in the middle of a field. No, you sent us your son to be the good shepherd who would protect the flock, who would love the flock, who would lead the flock. God, we thank you for providing that for us. We pray that we might not be dumb sheep who find ourselves going astray and causing ourselves harm, but instead, we'd be obedient sheep to follow the shepherd, who are protected, who are safe, who are loved. God, help us. Help us as we be obedient. As we be obedient children. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Father, speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. It's our time of response. It's our time of invitation, we call it. We invite you to take a moment and do something with what God has given you, what he's shared with you, what he's wanted to speak to you about. I talked about how the Lord speaks. The Lord has spoken through his scripture today. I hope you were listening. I hope you heard something. And whatever that was, I pray that you would respond appropriately. I said it before. I don't think our problem is so much that we don't know what God wants from us. It's not that we've never heard his voice, that we just wish he would speak to us. Most of our problem is that we have heard him, and we didn't like what he said, or we want to do something different, or we're just choosing to ignore it. Follow the good shepherd. For some of you this morning, maybe he spoke to you about salvation, about actually putting down your life and making a commitment to make him your shepherd, to follow him for the rest of your life, to receive the gift of grace and love and this gift that he's given us by giving himself on the cross for us. If that's you, hear his voice and follow him. Come forward. I'd love to share with you more about what that might mean for you to make that decision to follow Christ with your life and how you might be able to be more obedient in the things that come over the next few days. I'd love to share that with you. Come forward. I'm here for that. Others, maybe there's some other specific area of your life where you know the Lord is continuing to speak to you about, and you're just like, no, I'm going to stay out here in the open field where I'm a predator, where I can be, you know, taken by the predator, where I can just kind of lose my way. I'm good over here. No, you're not good. The Lord wants to lead you to better pastures. The Lord wants to lead you to safety, but you have to be obedient. You have to follow him. Maybe for some of you, you just need to repent and say, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I'm trying to be the shepherd when I'm the sheep. And you just need to submit and follow his guidance and his wherever he's asking you to go in your life. So maybe that's you today. Others, I don't know. Maybe you just need to spend time worshiping a God who loves us so much. You do that. If you need me, I'll be down here. If you want to join our church today, you say, hey, look, I feel like the Lord is speaking to me and I need to be an official member and I need to commit fully to this body of believers. We'd love for you to do that too. You can start that process today. Come forward. We want to celebrate with you to joining this church family. Whatever God is speaking to you, respond appropriately. And I'll be down here if you need me. Let's stand together as Daniel leads us in singing.